Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Harvest Ridge is so wonderful to be with you this morning. My name is Pastor Cornell Jordan, and I am so glad that Pastor Kevin gave me an opportunity to be back. It's been a while since I've been here. The last time I was here, we were over in the old auditorium sanctuary. So a lot has changed since that time. And you guys look good. Come on now. You look really good. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good in Jesus' name. You know, I'm so tired of all those ugly looking church. I'm just kidding. Right. No, you look good. This place looks good. Having the chance to just kind of walk around and see what's going on, it looks wonderful. And I'm so glad that God is on the move in this church and in you. And Harvest Palooza is all about that, just letting people know of the love of Jesus Christ that we have within us. Amen. And that's really what it comes down to. So I'm so thankful to be able to share with you this morning. I come here in the second service with my wonderful wife, Kristen. She's here. Honey, can you just wave your hand? She's here. All right. There she is, in Jesus' name. Kristen is a fifth grade special ed teacher, and I'm her number one student. Come on now. Come on. You know how that goes. Every single time. And my son is here, Christopher. He can raise his hand. He's here. He's with his mom. My daughter's away. Both my kids are in college now. Come on now. And so if you're like me, you're like, hallelujah, they're gone in Jesus' name. Right? I can actually have some money now, right? In Jesus' name. No, we're still broke. Just let you know. Just let you know. No, I'm delighted to be here with you, and I'm going to ask that you do me a favor. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles. Let's jump into today's word for today. God, we thank you and love you for all that you're doing in our lives. We ask you, Jesus, that you would just challenge our heart with the truth of your gospel. We know, Lord God, that you not only came that we would have life and have it abundantly, but that we would have courage through the journey. So, God, I'm asking that you would just open up our eyes and hearts, our ears and minds, to receive everything that you have for us today, Lord. It's our desire to live a life that's pleasing to you and that's one that communicates victory to all those around us. So, God, exalt your name and your word above all else, and we thank you and love you. And everyone said, amen, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and say it's on in Jesus' name. All right. All right, strap in this morning. It's second service, so we didn't have a couple cups of coffee or tea or Mike and Ike's or whatever you want to call it. It's that time, right, in Jesus' name. If you grab your Bibles this morning, I want to give you a word that's entitled Figuring Out Faith. Figuring Out Faith. And if you know anything about me, I love the Word of God. I love the Word. I just love it, love it, love it. I see God in just about everything that I encounter. Like the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that God reveals himself through what he created. And so if you really look, you can see God in everything. And so I want you to do me a favor. Would you grab your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Philippians? Turn to the book of Philippians. You have a wonderful pastor. He and his wife, I'm telling you, they're excellent communicators of the gospel. And so I don't want to pretend like I can give you anything extra that he wouldn't give you. So as you're turning to Philippians, I want to give you some background on this book. Philippians is a book, of course, that is written by the Apostle Paul. It's one of his 13 letters to the church. And this book, the Church of Philippi, what makes this book a little different is this is a book of encouragement. Like six times the word joy is spoken of. So Paul is trying to encourage folks. Watch this. Even though he himself is locked up. He is locked up. He's actually in prison, and he writes this note to the church of Philippi, and I want to just kind of jump at a section. Would you go ahead and hit me? Watch this. In Philippians chapter 2, turn to chapter 2 and slide your finger down to the 12th and 13th verses. We're just going to kind of focus there today, and I want to kind of challenge you and encourage you with the word. The word of God says this from the NIV. Go ahead and hit me. It says this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. You get that? He says, it's okay. I understand it when you're following me when I'm with you. But it's even more telling when you follow me when I'm away. You've heard the saying, when the cat's away, come on, Simon. You know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hand. Come on, you know what I'm saying. So he's saying to them, he's saying, look, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Watch what he says. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He says, I'm away from you. You have so much encouragement, so much joy, so much enthusiasm, so much passion for this salvation. I want you to continue to work at it with fear and trembling. He then says this in verse 13. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. I tell you that because Paul is trying to encourage the church of Philippi to stay strong. Because how many of you know, I'm just going to say this in the second service, how many of you know that the world is filled with haters? Come on now. My haters have haters. Come on. Right? But I have some great news for you this morning. Haters are an indication of your progress. They never had a problem when you were living the low life. Come on. They never had a problem when you were just like them. But the second you started moving forward, now all of a sudden their comments come. Right? All the conversations at the water fountain start to take place. And so Paul wants to encourage them in this. So the other day, I was in that great mission field of America called Walmart. Come on, y'all. Mission field, right? Right? I was in that great mission field called Walmart. And if you know me, I'm just kind of doing my thing, trying to head to the mic and like, Al, come on, somebody, hot tamales, hook a brother up. You see what I'm saying? I was just having a good old time. And in doing that, I passed one of these. I passed one of these, a Rubik's Cube. And the second I passed it, I knew that God started talking to me. Like I had to stop in my tracks. I found this Rubik's Cube and the Lord says, do you understand what this is? And I'm like, duh, God, everybody knows what a Rubik's Cube is. You know, that's our relationship. Like I'm the knucklehead and he's God, right? Right? I'm like, duh. I'm like, everybody knows what a Rubik's Cube is. And he says, no, look a little deeper. He says, that's everybody's life. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me give you some history on the Rubik's Cube. If you don't notice, the Rubik's Cube was invented in 1974. Now, most of y'all weren't even born yet. In fact, you weren't even thought of yet. Come on, in Jesus' name. And this, the inventor, Erno Rubik, thought to himself, I want to create something that's going to cause people to think. And since that time, the Rubik's Cube is the world's highest selling, most popular toy on the market. It's the highest sell. Now, how many of you have ever had a Rubik's Cube? Just raise your hand. You ever seen one, played with one, tried one? Come on now, right? In Jesus' name. All right, watch this. The Rubik's Cube is so dynamic that there's nearly 40, watch this, quadrillion combinations to it. Like even saying that word makes my head hurt. Come on now. Like I'm just trying to work on one angle. Come on, right? I'm just trying to get the red. Let me work on the red, I'll get to the blue, right? In Jesus' name. It is so outrageously popular that they have contests all over the world to see who's the fastest. The fastest time a Rubik's Cube has ever been solved was in 5 seconds. I know, right? I'm like, I don't even want to see that guy. Come on now. Like, you just stay over somewhere else in Jesus' name. But why do I say that? When you look at this Rubik's Cube, what do you see? See, for me, when I see it, and I think of my life, I think of something like this. A complete mess, all out of order, all out of shape. All just, man, it's going to take time to figure this thing out. And to be honest, I don't have the time to figure it out. Come on, y'all. Right? But I do have some time for some coffee or some tea or something like that, right? I got time for everything else, but I don't have time to figure this out. And a lot of times when we look at life, sometimes it's just like this very Rubik's Cube. It's so out of place. It's so out of sorts. It's out of order. Man, my life is like this, and I really want it like this. Bigger, all put together. I want everything to be right. I mean, I want all the lights to be green, for heaven's sakes. Just one day, don't get me behind Mrs. Jackson, who likes to drive 7 miles under the speed limit. Come on. It's like, man, I just want my life to be okay. I mean, I just want a few good days. But oftentimes it looks like this. Anybody with me? It's so complex. It's like my problems have problems, right? It's like it's every single day. It's drama every single day. I go to work, there's drama. I go home, there's drama. I look on the news, there's drama. It's like every single time there's drama. And then when I look at my own life, man, I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I want to do for God. I want to grow in God. But every time I take 2 steps forward, it's like I have to take 7 steps back because somebody is telling me I'm number one when I'm on 480. Come on now. Come on. Like every single time I want to live for the Lord, every time I want to try to figure this out, every time I say I want to go deeper in Him and I want to know His power and His feeling and the joy that comes from a relationship with Him, it's all confusing. And so instead of trying to figure it out, I just sit it down. I put it to the side and wonder what's going to happen. Can I tell you this? Faith can be extremely frustrating at times. I'm here to tell you today that sometimes faith can be really, really difficult. And I think that the writer in Philippians knew this. He understood that there will be days when you just, they got on your last nerve. Come on, somebody. Everybody been there? Like you walk in the door and they get on your last nerve. Come on now, right? You just enter into the place and you're on your last nerve already, right? You just paid for the car to get detailed and get that situation with the car fixed, and all of a sudden your tire gets to flat. Come on now. If that's you, that's like me all the time, right? What are you saying today? I'm saying to you, sometimes faith in itself can be very frustrating. Check out what Romans says. In Romans chapter 7, Paul, the same writer who's talking to the church in Rome, he said the same thing. In Romans 7, he talked about how many times when he wants to do right, he ends up doing wrong. You ever been there? Man, I want to do right, but every time I do right, wrong is sitting right there waiting. And every time I want to do, you know, wrong, it's like right is reminding me. Like some of you think it's the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. And it seems like the devil is always louder. Come on. So what are you saying? So Paul, knowing the struggle that we would have, he says these words. He says, listen, what a miserable person I am. Who can rescue me? Every time I look to think that I'm moving forward, I'm actually moving backwards. Every time I think I have it together, it seems like my life is falling apart. I mean, I pray for them as the Bible tells me to, and they get worse. What do you mean, love my enemy? What do you mean, let somebody punch me in the face and give them the other cheek? No, Lord, that actually hurts. Come on. What do you mean? He says, what a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is doomed to die? That's doomed to die. Watch this, though. Verse 25 is the money verse. Watch this. Thank God, Jesus Christ will rescue me. What he's saying is this. In all my effort and all my hope, there's still somebody I need. And I need to tell somebody here. I've come to Harvest Ridge this morning to tell you there's somebody that you need. And I need to say this, you won't see it on the screen, but Jesus doesn't want to be your last option. He wants to be your first choice every single time. And so what we often do as human beings is, man, we try to figure out this thing of faith, and we could do a couple of turns and get a couple colors together, but then something gets in the way. Or then all of a sudden, we get a couple colors together, and all of a sudden, God starts blessing you, right? And then you start knowing that you're blessed. Watch this. And then your walk starts to change. Come on now. When God starts blessing, all of a sudden you're getting all, yeah, I'm coming to church. You know, how you doing today? What is your day like? Yeah, God is so good. Like we put on this face, right? Like we come to church, how's your day? Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything in me. Like we say all this stuff, but on the inside, it's like, man, if you really knew what I was going through, if you really know I'm struggling with this diagnosis that I was just given, if you really understand I'm trying to get my children to understand that the Lord loves them, if you really understood that I'm trying to really help these people at my job understand that I'm for them and not against them. See, Paul realized something here. I want you to know this. Go ahead and write this if you're taking notes. Listen, when faith is most difficult, grace is most effective. So even when we haven't figured it out, watch this. Grace is already helping us to figure it out. Come on now. I'm so glad that God has my back at all times. At all times. Even when I, watch this. This is the incredible love of God. Even when I don't want God, he still wants me. Come on now. Somebody needs to hear that today. Even when I'm not living for him, guess what? He's still dying for me. Come on now. So I'm so thankful for that. What do you mean, Cornell? Man, I'm trying to figure out this thing. I'm trying to get my marriage on point. I'm trying to get my kids on point. I'm trying to get my neighbors on point. Heck no. Listen, I'm trying to get the dog on point. Nothing is seeming to work out. And he says, guess what? I'm going to help you out. See, what I want you to understand is this. The challenge of faith is this. It's to trust God in the midst of a culture that thinks it knows him. Come on now. It's to trust God in a culture that thinks it knows him. What do you mean by that? I think we all have a role to play in this. See, a lot of times we pick up this Rubik's Cube and our lives are a mess and we look at other people's lives and it's like, man, they're so together. They have it all together. It's like they don't have any problems. But the truth of the matter is just take a deeper investigation of things and you will see that they're just like you, in need of a Savior, desiring the Lord. What do you mean by all this? See, listen, I want you to understand something. The culture wants you to think that there's nothing for you to do. That you just, watch this. The culture believes that faith is like this car. In fact, write this in your notes. You won't see it on the screen. The culture thinks that faith is like Uber. You just call and get in, it'll drop you off at heaven. Come on now. All I have to do is confess Jesus. How about this? All I have to do is wear the shirt. All I have to do is sing the lyric. And all of a sudden, my life is supposed to be perfect. Well, let me tell you something. What you don't realize is this. In order to get into the car that is the faith that is like Uber, first of all, you got to make a call. Second of all, you got to pay the cost for it. And we need to understand, beloved, what are you saying today? We need to understand that we have a role to play in faith. And it's this. Watch this. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, let me read this again. Watch what he says. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, you've been consistent at going against what your flesh wants. You said, you know what, Lord God, I'm going to trust you now. No matter what, he says, as you have been obedient to obey, watch this, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, watch this, continue to work out your faith. That is your part to play. That's on me. See, here's the difference. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus will not live the life you were meant to live. He will give you the life you were meant to live. Big difference. Big difference. He says this, work it out with fear and trembling. What is fear and trembling, Pastor Cornell? It's with utter respect for who he is and what he has done for me. So as I realize what he has accomplished for me, I now allow his lifestyle to be applied to my lifestyle. And I start to say, Lord, instead of my thinking, I'm going to take on your thinking with the help of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Write this in your notes if you will. The truth is that faith requires action on our part because the Godhead has already done their part. You ever notice those people that want you to do everything? You're like, well, where's your skin in the game? Our skin in the, watch this. Write this in your notes. Our skin in the game is belief. That's what he calls us to do. He calls you and I to believe him and take him at his word. Now, as we do that, watch what happens, mama. When we do that, brother, what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to equip us with everything we need to be obedient and live the life that God has called us to live. If not, watch this. If not, we're going to keep trying to figure this thing out and we'll never cause it to be the way it was meant to be. So in essence, what we do is we take our faith and we say, Lord, I have been working on this thing forever. I need you to help me out. You ever see somebody who knows how to fix one of these things? Like, they be like. I'm like, bro, I've been working on that thing for 5 years. And it just took you like 3 minutes. See, Jesus knows this thing called faith. The Bible says he's the author and perfecter, finisher of our faith. So the good news is this morning. God will help us out. God will help you out in your walk of faith. I want you to know this morning, even in the struggles, even in your doubts, even in the temptations, come on, fellas, even in all of the hate, God says, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to take you from one place to another if you allow me. See, I have to choose to get out the driver's seat. Come on, somebody. You ever see somebody get in the car and somebody, the passenger, yank on the wheel? You're like, what are you doing? You're going to kill us. Jesus says, what you don't understand is when you're on the in the driver's seat, you're just going to kill yourself. Let me do the driving. I know roads you don't know about. Come on now. He says, I know places that you have never been. I want to take you places you've never been. Here's the key, though. You have to believe in me enough to take you there. Come on now. So watch this. What are you saying today? God will help us out. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, this verse says this. This is an awesome verse. Watch this. The Everyday Reader's Version says this. Yes, it is God who is working in you. That's a great passage. Who is working in you. He helps you want to do what pleases him. And he gives you the power to do it. He not only helps me. Cornell, you telling me God wants to help me to be able to obey him? That's exactly what I'm saying. Because somewhere in Sunday school, I missed that. I thought it was all on me and what I did. No, the Bible says he will help you to do what he wants you to do, and he's going to give you the power to do it. In other words, watch this. You don't have to figure it out on your own. And let me say this to the real crowd. Listen, for the party people in this place, you figure it out, watch this, when you begin to give it over to him. When I give all my issues over to him, when I get all my troubles on him, because watch this, especially all the fellas, when the problem comes about, the first thing we start doing is thinking about how we can solve it. That's counter the gospel. The gospel says when the problem comes, we know the person to take it to immediately. Like I said, Jesus is not supposed to be our last option. He's supposed to be our first choice. Come on now. So today when you at Walmart, Jesus, or at Get-Go, come on somebody, and they get on your last nerve, come on now. You can't be pointing at yourself. You can't figure it out yourself. You have to say, Lord, help me. Can I tell you this? He says this. He will give you the ability to do what he wants you to do. Watch this. It takes God's help to honor his commands. Let me say it another way. It takes God to please God. Let me say it another way. Any parents in here? Any parents? Watch this. This is so awesome. Watch this. This is the Holy Spirit saying it right now. You know when your kids were really little and they brought that drawing home? Like, Ma, here we go. Right? And they brought the drawing home and, I mean, like, colors were all over the place. The truth of the matter, it was hideous. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, can I be honest in the church? It was hideous. But what do? You're like, that is so wonderful. That is beautiful, baby. I'm going to put it on a refrigerator. Right? And like 2 days later, the kid is like, Mom, where is it at? No, what am I saying? What the parent is doing is reinforcing in the child's heart that the child can bring even a mess to them and it will be received. Come on now. Because the mess we bring, watch this, is the beauty that he can turn it into. He can turn that mess into something so beautiful. Can I tell you this? In Isaiah 41:13, the Bible says this, "For I am the Lord your God," watch this, "who takes hold of your right hand," the hand of strength, of power, "takes hold of your right hand and says to you," listen to this, "do not fear, I will help you." So for whoever is out there today, Harvest Ridge, I want you to understand that this fight that you're in, you're not in it alone. It may seem alone. It may sound like it's alone. Listen, all the paperwork may seem that you're on your own, but the truth of the matter is his word says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to help you out." Exodus 14:14 says, listen, "I'm going to fight the battle. All you got to do is show up." Isn't that great? Come on now. So as I believe in his word and what he has done for me. And as I do, guess what? The picture that I have starts to turn to the picture he has. See, we see this all the time. Come on, somebody. We look in the mirror like, man, that's a mess. Right? But when God looks at us, he's like, no, you're a masterpiece. You're how I want you to be. Why? Because we're literally, can I use you, Mike, again? I'm going to ask you to stand here. This is, I've done this all over the world. So if you've seen this before, I'm sorry. See it again. Can you just come right here? What God sees is this. You can just stand right here. We're going to make you Jesus today, all right, in Jesus' name. Just put your hands out like that, brother. Turn towards the audience. Watch this. See, what happens is this. Me, I'm a mess. My life is like that Rubik's Cube, all out of order, trying to get stuff together. But watch this. When you place your belief in Jesus, when you say, "Lord, I've figured out that I haven't figured it out." But the Bible says this, we now are hidden in Christ, right? Colossians says we are hidden in Christ. So what happens is this, the world sees the messed up you, but God sees the completed you through Christ Jesus. So they're like, "Well, where's that old guy who used to cuss people out?" You're like, "I'm right here." Like, "Where's that guy that was angry and had a hot head? He was always, he had a temper out of nowhere. You look at him and he's upset. I'm right here." See, the Bible says, "I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ now lives in me." Come on now. You can have a seat, champ. What are you saying today? I'm saying to you, beloved, when we're trying to figure out this thing called faith, we have to know that God is going to help us out. He's going to be the one that helps us make sense of all this craziness. So I want to give you five quick things that I want you to take away. Five quick things. You may want to post these on Facebook or tweet them, whatever you need to do. But watch this. Five quick things. Number one, understand that faith is both simple and complex. It's simple and complex. What do you mean, Cornell? It's as simple as believing in it and as complex as trying to refute it. Let me say that again. It is as simple as believing in it and as complex as trying to refute it. See, you ever seen somebody, watch this. Just raise your hand if this applies to you. You know somebody that's been to church before and now they know everything about faith. They always hit you with this one. "Well, I used to go to that church." Come on now. It's like, bro, the church is still there. It's still there. They know all this stuff. I want you to understand faith is both simple and complex. Number two, listen, understand that faith in Jesus requires both help and effort. See, the problem that I have as I preach the gospel is this. People want faith a la carte. Come on now. That's what they want. "Well, I'll take the blessings, put that on in my cart. I'll take the favor, put that on in my cart." But when God starts to bring challenges our way to grow us, we're like, "Nah, you know what? You can hold the broccoli." Come on now. This is not faith. We have to do our part. And sometimes that means us being disciplined. Sometimes that means us having to walk through something. Some of you are in this place and you're walking through something. And I'm going to tell you something. Keep on walking. It's easy to give up. It's easy to question. But let me tell you this, Jesus is with us. Number three, listen, understand that there are no shortcuts when it comes to faith in Jesus. If there's one thing I want to say, especially to the students, there's no shortcuts. Isn't it just like, oh, come on, somebody. It's just like the culture to want to hook up. What are you talking about, Cornell, a hookup? You know what a hookup is? Your friend works at the certain store. Okay, let's say, for example, they work at Chipotle. They're like, oh, you work at Chipotle? Yeah, you going to hook me up when I come through, right? In other words, I don't want to pay because me and you have a relationship. You work at Chipotle. See, everybody wants this hookup kind of faith. Like, Jesus, hook me up with your blessing. Hook me up with your favor. And Jesus is like, you know, it costs to hook you up. Come on. People want this hookup faith. And Jesus is like, no. If it doesn't cost you, that means it costs me. What are you saying, Cornell? There's no shortcuts to faith in Jesus. Number four, understand that perseverance paves the way for progress. When you hang in there and work it out, see, the church has to learn how to get on its knees and pray it through. They have to learn, their church has to get back to the place of saying to God, however long it takes for me to see your hand move in my situation, that's what I'm going to be about. We want everything. We want instant, listen, we want instant oatmeal. Come on now. Come on. We just stick our hamburger in the microwave, and people are trying to stick this gospel in the microwave, and it doesn't fit. Faith, write this one. This is free right now. Listen, faith is less like a microwave and more like a crock pot. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You probably got it on right now. Come on. In Jesus' name. Let me move on. Number five, watch this. Understand that God will help you to do what he asks of you to do. If there's anything you hear from me today, hear this. God is for you and not against you. Even when it seems like the world is against you, you worked at that job all your life, and all of a sudden they want to tell you now it's time to get rid of you. You're like, huh? I gave you my sweat and tears. I gave you 35 years, and I'm the first to go? Like, what? Like, Lord, how in the world is that fair? In other words, we can say, Lord, you knew of this. What are you teaching me through this? What's going on in my life? Can I tell you this? Go ahead and hit me. When you're struggling in your faith, I want you to understand this. Philippians 1:6 says it like this. One of my favorite verses, it says this. And I am certain, Paul says this to the church of Philippi. He says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now read that again. He says, listen, if there's anything I'm confident of, is that God is a great starter, but even better, he's a great finisher. In my life, I can start real well. I don't finish so well. Come on now. If that's you, just touch your neighbor. Come on now. In fact, if it's them, just touch them, all right? He says, he who began that good work in you will complete it. Right, will continue to work until it's finally finished on the day of Christ Jesus. That gives me confidence. Say, Cornell, you're just thinking about today when I'm already in tomorrow. You keep thinking about your situation when you should be just thinking about me. You keep looking in those other directions, thinking they're going to help you out. Listen, sometimes God will put you in a situation, Sometimes God gets you to the position where your resources can't help you anymore. And when that happens, beloved, what he's saying is, look, hello, McFly, hello, Paul Blart, I'm your answer. That's what he says. I'm your answer. You're looking everywhere else, and I'm it. Well, Lord, you don't move so quickly. Hello, you didn't. Ouch. Can't say amen, say ouch. Come on now. Let me wrap this thing up. Listen, when you can't figure things out, please know that the Lord will help you out. So that's the sign. That's how you know. When you can't figure something out, God is saying, hello, hello, here I am. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you. I will never put you in a position where you have to question or doubt my word towards you. So now, I'm going to ask you to do this as we wrap up. My favorite verse, if you turn there, you won't see it on the screen. My favorite verse is the verse that guides my thinking all the time. You probably heard it 1,000 times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And you know what the word of God says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen to this part. Lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that the kicker? Because the first thing I do is I try to figure it out. My wife calls me with a problem. I'm like, okay, let me see. Instead of, come on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, watch this. Acknowledge him. Then he will direct your path. See, some of us don't have directed paths because we failed to acknowledge him. And then we start to say, well, where's God at? I don't hear him. It's like, bro, he spoke again and again and again. And so this morning, if you're here and you're like, Pastor Cornell, honestly, man, I'm struggling with this diagnosis. I'm trying to get my kids back into the church. These people in my job are getting on my last nerve. I've been waiting on God for this, that, and the third, and it seems like nothing is happening. My life is a mess. God says, you know what? I got you, beloved. I hear you, champ. Sweetie, there's nothing in the world that I won't give to have you closer to me. His hope is that you be made complete through Jesus Christ, not through your own effort. He chooses to work with you, not against you. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here today. You say, you know what, Cornell, straight up, man. You don't understand, man. It's crazy out there. I'm just trying to pay the rent. I'm trying to get this stuff together. I'm looking for some companionship. Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, girl, Jesus loves you enough to help you even when you don't call for his help. That's the power of the gospel. He can help you figure out this faith when you call upon his name. So sometimes I have to just scream in my car by myself, Lord, I need you. Screaming it just to remind them that I realize that he is my only hope. He is the one that can change everything. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, Cornell, honestly, right now, man, straight up, my walk isn't where it needs to be. It's just not. I'm going to be honest. I can put on a mask. I can say all the right things. But the truth be told, my life is a mess. It's like that Rubik's Cube. And I don't even want to try to figure it out. If that's you, beloved, the good news of the gospel is this. When Jesus stepped out of the grave, he figured it all out for us. He showed us a way. And he gave us help through the Holy Spirit to be able to make it through each and every day. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, man, honestly, I just straight up need some prayer. Straight up, I just need some prayer in the situation that I'm dealing with. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm having thoughts of issues of the past. I can't let go of this unforgiveness. I'm struggling even finding quality time with God. If that's you today, if you're in this place and you know that things are not where they need to be, you know Jesus is the only option you have. That's you and you desire prayer. Would you lift up your hand right where you are? I'd love to pray for you. I see those hands. I see them all the way front to the back. I see it, mama, way in the back. Champ, I just seen anybody else. I see it. I see it, sweetie. I see it. Jesus loves you. And he's going to help you. It's not because this guy said it. It's because what his word says. You want to know the craziest thing about this Rubik's Cube? In 1974 was created. In 1981, the first book to solve it came out. And I'm here to say, when your life and your faith looks like this, there's a book that can help you figure it out. It's called the Word of God. I want to pray for you, Harvest Ridge. God, I thank you for your incredible love towards us. In all the madness of life, in all the challenges that we face, all these men out here being tempted, Lord God, struggling with issue after issues. All these young ladies out here, Lord God, dealing with so many things emotional, God. It seems like every single day, like life is coming at me fast. But I thank you, Jesus, that you overcame this life by walking in complete obedience to what the Father asked you to do. And you invite us to this relationship with you. You take us by our hand, Lord God, and you say, as you do your part with entrusting in me, I will show you how wonderful things could be. So, Lord God, I'm asking that you would bless and enable every hand that was raised to see you in a whole new dimension, oh God. That you would meet their needs right where they are, God. That Holy Spirit, you would give us the ability to trust you at a whole nother level that we've never trusted you at. That the difficulties that we face, Lord God, are not just our difficulties anymore, but we throw them literally at the feet of the cross where you can bring about change, God. Do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Get it through our thick skulls, Jesus, that you are our option. You are our answer, and if it takes a million years to hear you respond, then a million years my knees will be on the ground praying to you for it, God, because we know you are for us and not against us. Have your way in our hearts. I ask your blessing upon all those who raise their hand today. You know the specific need that they have. This week, God, show them just how marvelous you are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Harvest Ridge, thank you so much. Lord bless you. And I pray that this week you will see his hand.